Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Basketball Matters. What am I talking about? Hold on. Black opinions matter, motherfucker. That's the show I'm doing. Basketball Matters sounds like a show I do with Jaleel White. My name's Amino Hassan. That's Big Jerv. That's Black Trey. Got a great show for you today. We got the season finale of Snowfall, and shit hits the fan. Hoo-wee. Got to definitely get into that. Also, we started watching the Magic documentary. I had no idea it was a four-parter, so we're going to do episodes 1 and 2 today. Next week, we'll do episodes 3 and 4. There's the Pusha T album came out this week, and Variety Magazine has some things to say about it. We've got some things to say about Variety Magazine. But first, before we get started, patreon.com/@thedings. Make sure you're signed up. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure your moocher friends are subscribed. Don't let them mooch off of you. Tell them get your own. So you get all the good content. Like, of course, the Overflow episodes where we review Winning Time and Atlanta. Like the watch-alongs. We had watch-along for the playoff game for the Timberwolves and Grizzlies the other day. Me, Trey, and Tom Habister. A lot of fun. We'll watch the games. You chop it up with us. You can ask questions or make jokes. We did the whole thing. We bet on the game. We did everything. So you definitely don't want to miss those watch-alongs. We also have the watch-alongs for the movies. Me, Zach Harper, Anthony Mays, the Re-Washingtons. I don't have to say the name of the show it's based on, but you know what we're doing here. We're watching movies, and then we're doing it live, and you guys can make the jokes with you too. So patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are tapped in for that. Guys, let's start with Black Trey, who went on a quest to find a home away from New York. And this L.A. boy decided no place like New York City. Go ahead, Trey. Say it. Say it. I want to hear the words.
It's no place like New York.
There you go.
I mean, I look at Jerv. I know. Jerv, I can't listen. This is day 35 on the road. You know what I mean? I am currently in Arizona, and I can't wait to get back to New York. I cannot wait. Yeah, Jerv, I've been in Chicago. I've been in Austin. I'm now currently in Arizona. And I cannot wait to land in JFK.
Doesn't compare. None of these places compare. Hear that, Jerv?
Nothing. And I've been back to LA. I love Southern California, but everybody moving too slow. Everybody waking up too late.
Here
we go. Hold on. I don't care about the beach that much. I don't care about the pool. It's nothing, bro. Listen, I'm getting all the flavors. I'm getting everything I potentially need for my life in New York City.
On foot, mind you.
On foot, too, by the way. Yes. I do not mind paying the fee to get on the train.
See that, Jerv? It's a real
That's
city
disgusting.
Right there.
That's fucking disgusting.
I hate to let you down.
Jerv, what does Philly have? Well, like, sell me on Philly. Sell me on, like, yo, you should sell Trey on Philly. Hey, you should try Philly. Maybe Trey should go to Philly. Go ahead and sell it.
Okay. I mean, by all means, you like trying different types of restaurants and stuff like that. We have all kinds of shits here. We have amazing restaurants. And the way that Philly is doing right now, all these new little popping areas are popping up. So it's like different culture type things are coming to different things. So it's basically everything you can get in New York to a degree. I'm not going to say it's every, you know, not all the stuff, to a degree that you can expect a city to be able to give you that another city has, but you can't. There's nothing like the, you know, the original place. Like, if you want a taco, you go get tacos from, you know, wherever your spot is in LA. And in New York, if you like hustle and bustle, but if you just want it, you know, a little less, we cool. We got everything you need, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? New York's, I mean, this is too much. Like, why?
Listen, for all of our listeners, if you want to sell me on your city, tweet us. Tell me how great your city is, and I'll come visit and potentially.
It gives specifics, by the way.
We got art stuff too. Like, hold up, Trey. I apologize, bro. I just had to remember. You are a gentleman that likes the finer things in life. We have all the arts and culture that you could possibly imagine. You can go see the history of this country as it was told to us right here in the city of Philadelphia. You can choose to believe it if you want, but as it was told to us, it is all right here, bro. It doesn't get more culture than that, and the sports teams are popping.
What?
Sports teams are popping.
What sports teams?
Compared to New York, we're popping. Wow.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. I like that case.
You got me there.
Thank you.
I mean, I would never change up any fandom. You'd be like, that's not the case. That's not the case in my life right now.
You can move to Austin, become a University of Texas fan. Just be burnt orange everything.
Hook 'em horns.
Trey and Matthew McConaughey just chilling.
Vince Young and shit.
Yo, so all right, well, Trey, well, stay tuned again. Give us your suggestions or to Trey about what he should try or why your city is worthy of Trey's attention. But I'm gonna tell you something that's not worthy of attention. It's this Variety magazine recap, emphasis on cap, for the Pusha T album. This shit is might be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it is like one of the greatest examples of the whites just being next level tone deaf. Like just knowing, first of all, knowing who you have to be your critics that review things, right? But then, on top of that, knowing, like, do they even know what they're talking about? Pusha T, this is the name of the article, Variety Magazine. Pusha T's It's Almost Dry, again, makes the case that things go better with coke. Album review. A tiredly single-minded focus on cocaine and its trappings handicaps a sometimes musically worthwhile collaboration with producers Kanye West and Pharrell Williams. And the article goes on to say that where is the line I'm looking for?
The minivan dad. They want maturity in the raps. I'm so disgusted at this review, by the way.
Hold on, I gotta find, where is it? Bro, oh, here we go. While sonically much more cohesive, oh, here we go. Now 44, the former Clips rapper had been dropping albums for over 20 years, but the content rarely wavers and typically centers around drug dealing and cocaine. And It's Almost Dry is no break from form. While sonically much more cohesive than its chaotic predecessor, Pusha fails to push himself into new territories, making the entire album feel safe rather than an attempt at growth. It's a disappointing conclusion considering the married father presumably has so much more hard-earned wisdom to offer his fans. Like, what the entire fuck did this woman think she was writing? As many people pointed out, it's like going to a steakhouse and saying, how's the tacos here? Like, you ain't gonna try a little vegan options, perhaps? Like, no, it's a steakhouse. You get steak here. And just like the again, who got this assignment? Did anyone vet their ability? Did anyone listen to what they had to say? Did anyone like have a discussion? Like, I don't know if this is the way you want to go. And you know how I know none of that shit happened, guys? Because when they found out who wrote this assignment and posted her Twitter at and her picture, you know what happened? She fucking deleted her whole account, man.
Just got ran up off that motherfucker. Just by the way, never Twitter. Let Look, anybody never let anybody run you off an account. Never.
If you feel like that for real.
Just log right? out. Just log
I
out.
Felt for real. Yeah. I felt for real that the Bucks weren't gonna win a game in the finals. Felt that shit for real. Said it on wax, tweeted it, everything. The shit went wrong. They won 4 games in a row. They won a championship. Did I delete my Twitter and Instagram? Fuck no. I flew to Milwaukee and sat in a dunk tank for 4 hours. That's the, like, if you are a critic, if you don't have that sort of energy, then you in the wrong business, man. I'll tell you right now. Yeah. The same for you. At worst, you do what Trey said. You log off. Just take a few days off.
But now they got even stuff like all these like certain aids to help you, right? Mute this conversation. Leave this conversation. Mute the words.
Can't you just not check your mentions?
No, but they even have auto block now. So if you say anything crazy, you get blocked.
Oh, wow.
If you say anything crazy, you get auto blocked. It's an auto block now set up to protect users on this platform. But like Amin said, if you're going to dish it, be ready to take it. And now you got this journalist. I don't know what she's covered in the past. I don't know what made her raise her hand to get this assignment. I don't know where she felt she could grow tiresome of Coke raps. This is a conversation where you're not welcomed.
But
no, like, it's also one thing to critique music, but it's like, you see the trend, first of all, every year before this nigga dropped the album. He ain't dropped the album in like 2 years, right? Maybe three. Because COVID years are weird and I can't keep track of shit.
Yeah.
But shit became a trend where a nigga put out a tweet and said, I'll never get tired of Pusha T raps as many as he raps about Coke. That alone should tell you how people feel about him as an artist, the content that he puts out. No one is ever saying, oh, you know what? I'm getting real tired of that. Music is so, we have so many options of different. Imagine if all rap was about cocaine. I would understand this. But we have so many different styles of rap that you could pick from where you could be like, all right, you know, I want the conscious.
Right.
One. I'm going to go Talib Kweli. Oh, I want bars, but then I also want conscious. I'm going to go J. Cole. Oh, I want some lavish shit. I'm going to go Rick Ross. You can go like and pick what you want.
Hold on. This is what I don't like. Does she listen to, like, does she ever listen to like Logic or Chance the Rapper? I wish they rapped about Coke more. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, whoa, you know, okay, I get it. You guys have feelings and shit, but what, you know, Chance, I know you love your wife and shit, but what about selling cocaine and drug dealing? Don't you ever do that either? Like, it's like what Trey's saying. It's like, you sometimes I'm in the mood for steak. I go to a steakhouse. Sometimes I want Mexican. Go to a Mexican restaurant, right? Tacos at a Mexican restaurant. Sometimes I want some good spaghetti. I go to an Italian restaurant. The idea that you would walk into an establishment and demand, oh, he's serving this shit again. And not because it's not good or not well done. Like, oh, I know your steak is very excellent. But can I have some vegan options? No, to get to a vegan restaurant on that day.
Hey, she treated that shit like it was like your parents cooking, like, they her, you know, your mom got that special signature meal, and you like chicken. Again,
the big chicken
again, nigga. And make sure you save your daddy the big piece.
when you listen to Pusha T, you know exactly what you're getting. You're getting cocaine rap at its absolute finest, and I do not want to hear this man talk about anything else. In fact, my first review, when I hit Trey and was like, yo. It's kind of weird to me because it had a little bit of different sound and I was a little nervous, right? Like I was like, hold on, is he about to do the maturation of a flow? Like, no, I don't want that. I want to hear about how you have snow fights. I want to hear how they have to weigh it with a scale. I want to hear how Poppy now has to call you. Like, I want to hear all that. I want to hear all the embellishments. I do not want to hear about how, oh, you had to go to a parent-teacher conference at 5 and dog. You got to make that. Like, I want to hear that from you.
Go ahead.
No, you know, Jerv, you know what it made me think about? It made me think about how Hov put out Black Album and it's like, oh, this is great. And like, this is it. He's retiring. And then he's like, I'm not retired. I'm going back. And he comes back with Kingdom Come. And that shit was trash. And then he came out with Blueprint 3. And that shit, in retrospect, at best questionable, in retrospect, that shit was kind of trash too.
Mid.
And then he came out with American Gangster. Because like those things were like, I've grown and Beach Chair and all these. And A Star Is Born. And like, look at Hope growing, right? And then he came out with American Gangster. He's like, wouldn't it be fun if I just had an album rapping about Coke again? And it was like, oh my god, that nigga is so good! It was so great. American Gangster was so great. And it's just like, you know what, man? I kind of wish you didn't grow up.
That's kind of led to like my trolling on the internet, in which I was trolling Jerv the whole time. But then I didn't know that I pissed off all of Brooklyn. I pissed off Naima. I pissed off all of Twitter. The future best rapper of live. By Elliot Wilson.
By Elliot Wilson, the legendary.
So I posted taking a jab at Jerv. Jerv didn't like really bite it. So it was kind of crazy because everybody on Twitter bit it and I'm getting hooked. But I don't even know because I muted the conversation. I did it on purpose. I just wanted Jerv to see.
But let me
but
ask
I was
you
basically saying
that.
No women have ever requested Jay-Z in the past 5 years. In the past 5 years. I've never been on the spot and they say, hey, man, play Marcy Me.
But here's a question. Like, first of all, before we like even argue whether Elliot Wilson is right or not, what does the greatest rapper alive mean to y'all? Because to me,
it means nothing.
Yeah, well, yes, thank you.
It means nothing. That nigga, listen, first of all, that title changes every couple weeks.
Because it does. That's what I was going to say. What it really means, what they really mean is the best active rapper, right? The idea that if you're active,
that's all it is.
He's inactive.
That's all it is. What are we talking about at this
moment?
It's like
there's still like 13 people that I would say humbly should be even remotely thought of. You're saying best rapper alive.
But name them.
J. Cole's the best rapper alive.
Okay.
That's arguably. Okay. I'm not fighting that. Because you can say that.
Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper alive. Drake can be like Drake. Uh-huh. Pusha T's better than dude.
Pusha T is definitely not getting played that.
He's definitely not getting played.
No. I'm not saying it. This is a different conversation,
That was just a side comment. Excuse me.
Hold on. I mean, Nas still is putting out like amazing albums. Nas is better than dude. Styles P puts out really good projects. He's better than dude. Jadakiss is better than dude.
What Jada's last album?
I don't know. Jada's not active.
But shouts to Jada. Jada could come in and do a give you a fire.
Sure.
He's been giving great features.
But what I'm saying, I'm not saying these niggas can't rap no more, whatever. I'm just saying when people say best rapper alive, what they really mean is
who's active. Still in the game.
Still in the game. So Jay-Z doesn't count. Jadakiss doesn't
count.
You
don't count.
You know, 50 doesn't count. Like, they're not in it. They're doing other things with their lives. Nas counts because Nas is steady content.
He's still out there jabbing. He's still trying to show that he got it. He's at the
all the Griselda dudes is better than dude.
Then who?
Well, not what you call it.
No.
Benny and Conway are better rappers. Yes, hey. better rapper. Now again, no one is going to go and no female is going to go up and say, "Yo, can you put that Conway on?" I hear you. I get
John
you.
John Gervais. Let's be honest. You probably don't listen to Future, but all your favorite rappers do. All of them. They love that ignorant shit. And you know what? When we walk into them parties, you know what them young ladies ask for? That Future. When you go to Atlanta, you know what they ask for? Future. When you go to LA, you know what they ask for? Future.
You know what's funny?
New York City, they ask for Future.
He has good songs.
You wonder if the variety girl is like, I just wish she stopped rapping about Memphisine and you're a father now for the 11th time. Like, maybe rap about that.
By the way, he had one of the greatest interviews of all time right now on GQ.
Oh, is it the one where he says he wants to settle down and
have the kids with a wife?
Have multiple kids because I've never had more than one kid with any woman. I was like, damn, that's a line.
This nigga's a legend. But he said it would be special. Like the other ones wasn't. This nigga's toxic. He's toxic, but I love it. You know how niggas wanted Lil Wayne to just stay home lean so he can rap better? I like that nigga to make kids and don't father him.
Come on.
Because the music is good.
he flipped it. Child support.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to do. But he flipped it in the interview and said, why I got to be toxic? How y'all know the women wasn't toxic?
Because it's like 13 joints, fam. Like, at some point, it's you.
No, but listen, if they keep allowing him to, do his stuff and make these kids.
They know what they want.
They know what they want, man.
Yeah.
Shouts to Future.
It's the same shit when there was a conversation about Ciara and Russell Wilson, and the guys were trying to tell my man that, like, yo, you know, she grew out of that and wanted something more stable or whatever. Like, and that's absolutely the truth. It's like, yo, at that one point in her life, absolutely she wanted to be with a nigga like Future, not like with Russell Wilson. Absolutely. And then like you grow past that. You want other things, different things. And she moved on. But like the reality is, it's not like she thought she was getting Russell Wilson when she went out with Future. Right? Like he's as advertised. How toxic can you be when you're as advertised?
And never hit it.
Right.
Never hit it.
Like, y'all got it.
That's what it is.
Let my boy flourish.
Hey.
Greatest rapper alive. La-dee, la-dee, da. Slap on me, da.
Like, yo, I don't hear. Like, yo, all he make you do is do drugs. Like, yo, he just tells you to go drink, do all these drugs.
Hey, but the beats are fire.
But the beats is fire.
Melodic. He's melodic with it. He's
listen,
melodic.
I like the toxic crooning. I like the crooning.
Toxic crooning is definitely
toxic crooning is that nigga's genre for sure. Like if him and J. Cole did a song together, it would be the most played song of the summer.
Oh tell man. Now. But let me tell you something. The craziest date of the off-season tour was definitely the one in Miami because he brought out Drake first and then he brought out Future and everyone went nuts, man. And Trey's right, man. Like, your favorite rapper absolutely loves it.
Regardless.
Loves it. Yeah.
Kendrick loves thinking. Future.
Yep.
J. Cole loves Future. Because they don't have... First of all, he's not even trying to compete with niggas. He don't care. Yeah. He doesn't care. He's just
In the same way, bringing back the analogy, in the same way the steakhouse is not competing with the Mexican restaurant. It's just different shit, man.
Gotta love it.
There's nothing that says that we have to want just one type of thing at all times. All we ask is that you be good at it. Whatever it is. Coke rap, just be good at it. Toxic shit, be good at it.
So he's like the goat toxic nigga.
Yeah.
Oh, the goat of the goatish absolutely. Nigga. That nigga, the toxic crusader, nigga.
Him that's why him and the Weeknd are always a match made in heaven, man.
My lovely mother came to visit me and my son for a few weeks, and I thought I knew my mom better than anyone. One day, we were chatting, and I heard a story I'd never heard before. That got me wondering, how many other stories don't I know? That's why I got my mom's StoryWorth. StoryWorth is an online service that helps you and your loved ones connect through sharing stories and memories, and preserves them for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your mom a thought-provoking question of your choice from a vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought of, like, what's some of the best advice your mother gave you? Or, if you were to do it all over, what would you do differently? Or my favorite, what have you changed your mind about over the years? I've really enjoyed reading my mom's answer to those questions. I've discovered stories and memories I've never heard about, and I've learned new things about stories I thought I really knew. Like, I found out that my mom put me up for adoption. I mean, she got me back, but she put me up for adoption. Anyway, after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles all of those questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book the whole family can share for generations. You know, if I have a daughter, I'm going to pass it down to her. I mean, I can give it to my son as well. He loves his Mimi. Give all the moms in your life a meaningful gift you'll both cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, for a limited time, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/bomb. That's StoryWorth.com/BOMM to save $10 on your first purchase. StoryWorth.com/bomb.
Really quick, I do want to quickly address this one. This was in the chat. I feel like we didn't even go in on it on the chat hard enough. But this girl, random girl, just tweets out piss kink. That's it. Just two words. Dude responds, "That's strange, but do you?" Again, an unsolicited response. He wasn't tagged. She wasn't talking about him. This dude just felt the need to respond. Said, that's strange, but do you? To which she responded with, ain't this you? Screenshot of him sliding into her DMs with a picture of him with his phone number attached, by the way, and a white gooey substance all over his face. And the note is, nutted on my own face for you, sexy. And then followed by a 100 emoji.
First of all, and the 100 emoji sent me. And then how is that possible for the aim to be so accurate?
I don't know. Like,
my man turned himself into a toaster strudel for the show.
He had to be, yeah, he had to be at an incline, right? Like, you know, the incline press where you like your feet are higher and your back is lower. Like, that's the only way I could think of this, right?
Bro.
Because, but it's just
he'd have to have
rocket launchers fucking attached to that shit in order for it to get the trajectory that it needs to go high enough to then come back down on said face.
It's his dude tweeted, Jesus, US Twitter is another dimension. Let me go back to my South African. I'm not emotionally or spiritually prepared for this. My man literally said, like, I can't deal with American Twitter because this is how y'all do. Yo, okay, let's just, physics aside, what did he think was the appeal of that? Right? Like, why would you think, yo, she's definitely going to want to holler at me now?
How many people has he done that for?
Dog, it's his number on it. His phone number. She didn't even blot it out, by the way. She just let that shit rot. It's like, yo, this is clearly like a phishing practice for him. This ain't like, yo, me and her hooked up. She's freaky, I'm freaky. We push each other's limits, right? This is like, hello.
I think you're kind of bad. Let me show you what I can do.
Hey,
let me show
you nigga, how bad. That nigga over-offered, man.
Over-offered.
Yo, back in the day, the over-offer was a dick pic. Now this nigga out here overly sharing his kink.
Is this, I mean.
That nigga's really walking around looking like motherfucking a toaster strudel, bro. I can die.
Yo, here's the thing. Even if it was just lotion. Right, even if it really wasn't his own nut or nut in general, God forbid it's someone else's nut. That's even crazier. What is the thought process here? Back in my day, Biggie once rhymed, "You look so good, I suck on your daddy's dick," and instantly niggas were like, "Whoa!" But also we understood, yo, Biggie's a funny guy. He's a funny guy, man. The guy cracks jokes that are inappropriate, right? Is that what this guy was doing? Like, was he trying to be funny? But his phone number's on it.
No.
Like, that was.
No, it's just kinky niggas out here, bro. And he just happens to be beyond kink. Like, if you looked in the kinky dictionary and you needed an image to describe kink, that nigga would be in there.
Let me ask this question, guys. And I'm not trying to be, like, offensive or anything, but this is a serious question.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at ButcherBox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
If you had no choice, you had to pick one of two things. Either every time you nut, you're going to nut on your face a little bit, or every time you have sex with a girl, she's going to pee on you. Which would you choose? You can't say neither.
I'm gonna say pee because pee is pee is squirt. Okay. I mean, I think I'll take the squirt. Squirt is pee for a thousand, like, Alex.
I feel like that one's pretty easy, man. So like the idea that like he could have a kink that's that fucking advanced and out there, but somehow look at pee and like, ew, that's weird. Huh? Like enough to say it out loud, because you know I saw that shit. I was like, oh, that's kind of gross, but I don't need to be letting people know that I think it's gross, right? I could just move on with my life. Like, whoa, all right. Especially someone you try to holler at, unsuccessfully. I hope, by the way, is that working to pose Jerv's question again? Does that work?
Oh God.
He got real tears coming out of his eyes. That nigga gave us hell of an option, though, nigga. That's crazy. Yeah. I'm cool.
Unbelievable.
Like, don't that shit dry up? Like, it's a lot of shit going on.
Bro, I don't even want, like, a little bit to touch my finger. Like,
dog, I don't. Cool. I detest the, like, it's so disgusting to me.
Like, that's girls, what I'm saying. I'm a germaphobe, bro.
I don't even like being a girls don't club. Understand it. Girls are like, yo, don't you jerk off? I'm like, yeah, and it doesn't touch me. Like, it does not touch me.
Hey, no, that's sir. That's a sick crevice. That shit get right here, I might die. Yo, I might die.
I feel like my hand would get stuck or something.
It's gonna look like some Elmer's glue.
Either I'm standing up to make sure this shit ain't coming back this way, or I got a towel at the ready, hovering.
That's a sick catch. It's like stealing a home run.
Oh, yeah, it's about gotcha. The catch. You got it. Yeah, got it. Like, hey, a Jerv. Wild pitch.
That shit make the door go. Call. Nigga's sick, man. That nigga said I had a towel to catch it, bro. Yo, like a this podcast is off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, man.
Let's move on. Sick, though, man. Let's do my Brian Gumbel. Let's move on.
Listen, whoever it is listening to this pod, please don't DM me asking me for this picture because I would not have it on deck. Yeah. I would not have it on deck. You got to find it.
Just got to Google. Just got to search it. It's still up. I just checked. It's still up there.
That's a wild search, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even want that in your search history. Like, that's crazy.
You know, if you type the wrong thing in, you might go down the wrong rabbit hole. Yeah,
Twitter's algorithm start thinking, oh, you must like this, huh?
use a kinky nigga. you we gonna raise your kink, all right, man. I follow one porn star dog, right? Because I did Faded Comedy LA, and they had a porn star as a guest, and just every now and then when I open my shit up, it's just sex scenes, and I'm like, I gotta do this shit really quick. Like,
a dangerous game, man.
It's a dangerous game.
How many people I follow on Instagram? I'm like, oh, guys, come on, man. Like, let's move on. Let's talk about They Call Me Magic. We watched the first two episodes, and I'm gonna just say this: if in an alternate universe this shit came out a month ago, 2 months ago, I'd be watching like, oh wow, that's cool. Oh shit, that's a cool story, whatever. But the way these niggas cried and bitched in unison about winning time.
And so far, so much accuracy to it.
Dog, through two episodes, I'm like, winning time hasn't even caught up. Through two episodes, it's already ahead of where winning time is, through seven or eight. Dog, this can't be you. You can't say all these things and then present to us literally like this shit was so on point on everything. The only thing that you might say wasn't, or that, which is the part we all knew, like, oh, they took Jerry West and they exaggerated him.
Cool. But the nigga did admit that it was unbearable to lose.
We're all shrugging if you're not watching this on YouTube, but we're all doing the emoji of like, come on, right? Like, come on, man. What are they talking about? What was all that complaining about?
I think it was just flat. If you really want to be ready, they were Saudi. They're Saudi. Winning time came out first. Yeah. No. Oh, I mean, not even that. They came out first. Like, they took kind of the thunder.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I saw this on Winning Time already. And Winning Time's funny. And if you want to be real, a person like me, Winning Time's giving me everything that I want. And you just PG-13 the hell out of Magic Johnson's, the wildest times of Magic Johnson's life.
Let me tell you something. They PG-13, but low-key, I think Magic is worse about, like, the whole Magic cookie thing comes off worse in his doc than it did on Winning Time. On Winning Time, it was like, baby, like, I'm da-da-da, like, yo, like, you either with this or you're not, and that's it. On fucking the dog, is like he proposed to her twice and twice. I was like, I ain't ready. Yo, and I thought, I was thinking about, damn, Cookie, how much shit has she been through? This nigga broke off engagements twice. Only for you to finally get him to get married, and then that nigga gets HIV. God damn, man. And she stayed with him through all that. Meanwhile, some of y'all breaking up with niggas over DMs. Come on now. He liked a picture on Instagram. Like, really?
He finds you someone to rise for you. Like Cookie.
Hey, Cookie, that's a good woman there.
Love, it'll make you do the fucking music soul child, that shit, because
I'm looking for my Cookie.
Yeah, that
ride or die, literally.
Hey, no, what they say on Rough Riders, ride or die, nigga. Yo, he's a sick nigga though, because that nigga was making her go to the dorm and stay there.
Dog. She's like, why come I can't wait with the other girlfriends after the game? Like, nah, you just go back to the dorm. I'm like,
and he chose up and had the girl sit next to his mom at the game.
Bruh, why won't they didn't show us who she, I was hoping we got a pic. Cookie probably was like, yo, you show this motherfucker in this documentary.
Bad as
fuck. Yo!
Bad as fuck. Like, I kind of had a guess. I seen her. She's a very beautiful older woman. But, like, in case you had it twisted, Cookie was bad. Oh my God. Also, she's got that weird thing that happens to black people. Some black people, as they get older, they get more light skinned. Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, Jerv, do you worry about that? That you're gonna be like damn near white when you get older?
Nah.
That nigga gonna look like Bill Plasky.
Yeah.
Bro, that nigga gonna be sick, bro.
Gary V over here.
Yeah, quick question. Am I the only one that watched this thing and said, what the fuck is Snoop doing here? Like, I get why he's there, but man, it's like, why is he here?
It was like, remember when Justin Timberlake was in fucking Last Dance? It's the same shit. We need an over-the-hill music artist, too, to show everybody that we're cool.
And Snoop over there, you know why I got this motherfucking trophy with the Lakers over the top? Because we own that motherfucker. You know, the Magic Man. You know, that nigga just be talking like, bro, Snoop high as shit. Why they bring him up? Yeah. That motherfucker?
No, it's just to say they had Snoop in it. Just like Obama, like I knew this in my heart without any confirmation, but like it was nice to get the confirmation. Like Obama, you know, I'm a Chicago guy. I'm like, okay. And a little way later, I was Sixers. Sixers are my favorite team. I had a Dr. J. I'm like, yeah, you bandwagon ass nigga. I know you from Hawaii, man. You from Hawaii and Kansas and Kenya. There's no chance that he was like a Bulls fan pre-Michael Jordan, right? Like, I was like, zero. This nigga was rooting for Reggie Theus and goddamn Norman Van Leer or Norman Van Leer. Hell no, man.
Could you imagine if Magic would have went to Chicago instead?
Dog. Man, like, the whole everything. First of all, don't get
Michael Jordan to fucking...
No. Absolutely. Chicago. Absolutely. He's not a bull.
He goes to Portland then.
Yeah, or something. But here's the other crazy thing. How about this? The Eastern Conference is Magic, Bird, and Isaiah, and Dominique. All in the same conference at the same time. Bro, that's crazy. And Dr. J. And the Bucks, who are a great team too.
Y'all knew that him and Zeke fell out over the final. Like they fell out over the final. I mean, I thought it was like a little blow, but I didn't realize like it was a complete fallout.
I thought it was the dream team shit because he fell.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But apparently, I guess it started in '88, which makes sense. It's like you just a little less cool, right? But again, like, man, one of the other things I don't like about this documentary is that it jumps around a lot, and it doesn't seem to jump around with like a tempo or a pace. It's just like, it's almost like these niggas be forgetting shit. Like, oh shit, forgot to mention his dad played basketball, gave it up for.
Bruh, I thought I was hating on the fucking documentary. They were talking about him and Isaiah Thomas's relationship, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're now talking about his dad growing. No, we were talking about something completely different. It was like the racial tension and all this. And I'm like, all right, in my mind, I'm like, all right, does this impact him and Isaiah's relationship? Yeah, this is exactly what it means. Said it was like, oh shit, we forgot to do this. So let's back this up and then start it all over again.
It's like it's one of two things. Either you do things in order, which you could have started with, because they did take a time like beyond the busing thing in episode 2. In episode 1, they have like this 2 or 3 minutes where they're talking about like the racial tensions in America or whatever. I'm like, why didn't y'all just start with all that shit? Like lay down the groundwork and say, this is the environment that Magic Johnson grew up with, through, right? Okay, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is by exploring themes. Like this theme, and then it's like from the 60s and 70s all the way up to like, but they're not doing that either. It's just literally like bouncing back and forth, and it just doesn't feel very organized, I'll say. I don't want the listener to think we're shitting on it. I would say definitely watch it, but it's like the combination, I guess, for me about how disorganized it felt, plus these niggas are bitching so hard about winning time, and it's like all you did is just to let me know that winning time was like 99% accuracy, or damn near close. Like, they're like
winning time. Keep doing y'all thing.
Yeah, man.
By the way, they starting to pick it up too. The guy that worked on it, he lives like in New York or whatever. They're gonna start picking it up where we're gonna start seeing 2 seasons in
right
1 year.
Because
they got so much content.
This next episode, Jerv, last week on Overflow, you said, I think they get to the finals. No, this next episode is them playing Philly in the regular season, which is when the Dr. J dunk happened. That wasn't in the finals. That was a regular season game. Like in January.
So we're
February.
Just there?
Mm-hmm. We're midway through the season, bro. We're midway through season.
I thought we're the, oh, you mean through the Lakers through his
through the
rookie,
Lakers okay, season. Okay, yeah, yeah, we're midway yeah. through the Lakers for through his rookie year. We're not at the finals yet. So, you know, I kind of feel like, yeah, man, I think this thing is going to be going for quite a while. So get used to it. This is a Jerry West on a retraction and apology. Nigga, this ain't a newspaper. What are you talking about a retraction? What are you going to do, get a pulled episode? Too late. We already seen it. Nobody cares, bro.
Not a soul cares. Anyway. Hey, you know what's crazy? I always laugh at Michael Cooper when he gets some screen time. Because even when he cusses, it's awkward.
Oh yeah, welcome yeah. He does cuss like someone who doesn't cuss, right?
Welcome to the NBA, motherfucker. Yeah.
he cusses like Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, come on.
Unbearable voice.
Yo, I thought winning time was exaggerating. I was like, oh, there's no way Coop was like that. And then I heard him talk. I was like, oh, okay. Like, damn, they did a good job of recapping Coop.
They knocked it out the park with almost everybody. Rob Boone knocked it out the park with like his persona and shit, like about the fight that him and Magic got on. Kareem wrote this long thing on Substack about how like this isn't that, and like, but you know what's funny with all these dudes, what they all say? Well, I haven't watched it. Why would I watch something about my own life? I lived it already. I'm like, well, then damn, you can't really criticize it. You could say I ain't gonna watch it because I already lived it, but you can't say this is why it's bad and it's boring and that. I'm like, bro, you ain't watched though. Anyway,
my nigga Kareem, he said, yo, y'all won without me. Ah, don't even trip. I got some champagne and women and waiting that's what I'm for saying. You.
Like I'm like, if anything, like winning time was looking out for y'all people, man.
Hey, he got a joke. Hey, he with the handkerchief on. That shit was balling.
Yeah. Hey, I was like, yo, that's not the militant hell. Dude. Yo, that's and not the same militant. Hey,
that nigga swag was completely different, nigga. After that, nigga, he's like, all right, nigga. Oh, you a Muslim now? No more dope gay.
Dun 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 dun. All right, let's get into Snowfall. Let's wrap this thing up with the Snowfall season.
Oh, nigga, I got notes. I got notes, yeah, niggas.
You got notes?
I got notes, go ahead. Niggas.
Take it away, Trey. I got in a big argument, by the way, about this, this episode.
That was a finale, by the way? That was a finale?
Yeah. Finale, yeah.
Fuck, because it was really good. But we start off, Teddy calls Louie, lets him know, you're my number one, you're my star. Franklin's walked away. He's out the game. He's breathing different. He's eating different, B. But there's only one catch. Where the fuck is my money? Money gone. I love how when Teddy is saying the money, that nigga using slang. He using so much slang, and he probably picked it up from the black people, that the nigga sounded like he said 17, but he meant 73. So when the nigga was like, 17? He's like, no, 70. 70. Right?
Yeah.
Also, girl finds a tracker device in the lamp.
Whose is it? Who do you think it is?
I think it was
DA. Oh, it's DA. It's DA. Yeah, right. They rolled up DA. On him. Yeah.
Louis and Jerome are all in. Franklin finds out $73 million is all gone. I would have lost it too. Not gonna lie.
$73 million gone.
Nigga, I will lose it now if a nigga just clean my shit up now. I would be like. You know, I'm gonna need a minute, okay? Teddy is trying to donate Franklin's money to the CIA.
That's crazy. This sick, man put sick, all this work in back. For you, and you basically take all his bread and give it back to the CIA. But,
okay, so
it never was his money.
So let me say this. True. Let me say this. Didn't any of y'all think that this? I guess again, we have to always remember we're thinking about this from 2022. And this thing is in 1985
and
or whatever.
Not 1985, 86.
Right. But like, it's got to be like, dog, you trust the CIA with like to not mess with your money? Like in very public accounts or whatever? Like, come on, man. Like, you got to know better than that. But then it's like, oh, maybe he didn't because he's the first one, right?
Yeah, he's the first nigga to really be like, oh, I'm bigger than nigga. I got the CIA on nigga. I got the CIA on my team. You know how he be acting. Like yeah. He was just God level. You know, also gets caught. Wait. We are no Ruben interrogates Avi.
Oh yeah.
Teddy goes and tries. Yeah, Avi's just out there just saying it, right? Because he think he gonna get away. Parissa has been kidnapped. Also gets caught by DEA. Louie not throwing away her opportunity away, which was fucking funny. It reminded me of oh boy from Power.
Zeke, what's
that? You gonna mess up my opportunities.
Oh yeah. Right.
So then Franklin pulls a gun out on Louie, says, "I'll kill you to get my money back," right? But Sean Littleface is there comes to out, back it up. Pops out, which he's now a soldier for Louis. And then Louis says, you know, if she sees Franklin again, she's going to kill, which now it's go time. Because now we've both drawn arms on each other. We've made threats. She spares him because that's Jerome's nephew. But, like, nephew, at the end nephew. Of the day, you know, Jerome, like, fuck it.
Do we know but Jerome saying fuck it? We don't
so,
know.
Okay,
that
yeah.
Yet.
So that's the argument I got in with my homegirl Yasmin, right? She says that Jerome is probably gonna try and squash it because he knew that Franklin wasn't gonna be cool with any of this. My answer was, yeah, but I don't think he expected him to ever pull a gun on Louis and tell her, I'll kill you 10 times over this shit. Like at that point, I think Jerome says, all right, I got to pick sides on this one. I'm going with my woman, right? Right? Like, y'all think he's still like...
No, he
told y'all a few weeks ago, I think whenever this plays out, he's going to choose his original family over his wife. I really do.
Because she's going to go overboard. She's going to get so like power stricken. But at the moment, in this particular time, he's going to go choose Louis. And that's a good argument. I mean, I will say, Ruben kills Avi after he gets all the info. He said he had to kill him because he couldn't trust him. Then we have Franklin finally drops his nuts and robs Louis and Jerome.
Damn,
he's going all in. And I love that shit because it was like the nigga that we've been waiting on to become. Like even when he started walking off without the cane, I thought he was going to become that nigga. Didn't. But now he going all in, and he got the tag team with him. That's so funny that he got them as protection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's going out here like 007, popping everything, stealing everything. And his mom comes through asking the tough questions. Oh God!
Told his mom straight up, yo, listen, it ain't your fault.
But what I am now is not your fault.
Yep. Yeah.
Then he also says with his mom, now that she like tips off that she's with the KGB and she's made some great contacts, that we gonna have to burn this whole motherfucker to the ground, mama. Yeah. So I have some questions for you guys.
Right.
Where the fuck is Peaches? What's the leverage? Oh,
Parissa? You didn't mention the other thing was about Kane.
Oh, sorry.
Going to Kane's hospital.
So he goes to Kane, and he lets him know that Louis did it, and that nigga eyes. Yeah, he was locked in. He's like, okay, I bet. So that nigga gonna be a threat. He's gonna be an ally, kind of similar to Power, where the nigga Tommy went to the Serbs. But this nigga go be in a wheelchair, just causing hell, just causing all these plays. But I'm interested to see. I was shocked that Leon didn't die or something crazy like that. But, like, he's giving the now rights to the other nigga who's just reckless now. This nigga firing guns in the projects.
You think Leon's going to leave? You think?
Dog.
I feel like the way he had him looking, Leon's going to be like, I can't leave this. These are my people. I got to get them.
I think he'll get off on the plane.
Because Leon looked around when the nigga said, so if you leave, I'm in charge, right?
He love that shit. Man, and that nigga, and you see how the like shit is starting to like burn down and like he sees the demise of it, right?
which is funny because in a weird way, Leon's right. Mm-hmm. Leon's right. Leon's right. Or this is when it flips. They're changing the laws and all that shit. Like, this is the time to get out. He's right. He's absolutely right. But, like, as he says that, like, he also sees, like, yeah, this shit gonna be fucked if I don't stick around.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's real. So I guess Peaches has just disappeared. He's never gonna come back.
Yeah, we're not gonna see Peaches again.
They could at least die.
No, Peaches is gonna come back next season, be weighing like 10 pounds or whatever.
Yeah,
you got the hip, but, man.
But also be Franklin still loyalist to the end. Parissa is leverage. Like, what is the KGB gonna do? Because does Teddy say fuck that bitch, or is he like,
yeah,
it's Teddy.
Yeah,
man. Teddy's gonna say fuck that bitch. It's Teddy.
She gonna find out like that he really don't love her or don't like her, and then to the game. And Jerome and Louis think someone else robbed them. I don't think they've logged in that Franklin.
They're gonna know. They have to know.
No, I think they know. That's why Franklin's mom, because Jerome had to said something to her to make her believe, or you think she was just asking on her own?
She was just asking on her own. No, she was like, "Do you know something that you know that happened?"
Right.
But then he, you know what I mean? Because he's now like, "I got robbed," so he probably called her in a panic. But like not thinking like my own nephew would do that, because yeah. I'm sure they haven't had Franklin Louis and Jerome haven't had that conversation yet. That exactly, nigga done probably pulled out on her and all that shit.
Pause. We're not paused, but
I thought he was gonna ride out on Louis. I didn't really think he was about to rob. I didn't think he was about to rob her. I thought he was about to like kill her. So
and, I mean, he doesn't want her dead. He wants his money, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want
to. I mean, yeah, that was the original play, but she's basically told that man, if I see you again, like, it's, you're dead. So, I mean, kind of got to weigh your options there, right? It's a small town.
I mean, robbing her is probably easier at this point than it is if you try to kill her later.
Yeah, and he don't want that blood on his hands. He wants Kane to do it.
Well, not only that, but he also knew that, like, this argument just happened between me and her. So the whole thing is he approached the stash house and them niggas weren't like really on guard. He's just like, hey guys, what's going on? And then shot him. Like, it was the element of surprise. If he waited maybe even like a day, the word be out, yo, this nigga's not cool anymore.
Yeah, they definitely would have had antennas like, hey nigga, da da da. And nobody seen him either. So like he was able to do his stuff. You know what I'm saying? So he can still play the dumb route until she has a conversation with, you know, Jerome.
Yeah, man. So it's a great. I thought it ended strong. Like, it definitely had some powerific moments in the middle of the season, but they definitely ended strong. And unlike Power, I think like this isn't something that's gonna get resolved like three episodes of the next season, right? It's like, you know what? What should we be fighting? Let's be friends again. Like, I think this is definitely a shift in the relationship. I was gonna say something else about Snowfall. What was it
about them changing the, what was it, the changing of the director or whatever it was? Was that it?
Oh no, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, was that you, Trey, that posted that the main man's not
he's stepping down. He worked closely with John Singleton before he passed, and then he wrote the latter episodes, and now they're going to tap in with Freeway Rick Ross. So it could be interesting last season.
We ask this question every year. Let's ask it one more time. Is Franklin going to die or is he going to go to prison?
I think he gets away with it all.
I think he dies, bro.
I think with them bringing in Freeway and them probably trying to make it full circle and have it be somewhat.
Or he be in prison for a long time for the rest of his life, and then he gets out as an old man.
Yeah,
like Freeway, right? Because that's how his ends, I think. So I think it'll be similar to that.
Like I said, that's how his ends, I think. Nigga, he's not dead and he's not in jail. So yeah, that's how Freeway's life ended. That's how Freeway's story ended. He got out of jail, you know. But it also would make sense if he did that, because Freeway, since coming out, has been like a positive guy, like talking to the youth and shit like that. And Franklin definitely has a demeanor of like someone.
Yeah, who would, like he served it, and then they can also make him a little older, or he get out. He like, because he's still young. That nigga 24 years old. So
do the American Gangster joint with Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas. He goes to jail, and then they do like the fast forward 25 years, and he gets out, and it's all today's music playing. He's like, what the fuck are they listening to?
That shit must be such a trip, man. Like, if you think about it, a nigga got locked up in 2002 and coming out now, 20 years, right? Or 25 years, like, since 97.
Niggas got Uber. Niggas got all type of shit.
Instagram, Facebook.
Nigga gonna be, niggas that come home from jail be so, like, blown from Instagram. They be blown from Instagram. They active on Facebook, but they be so blown. Because they just look at it in a situation of like, nigga, what? Y'all niggas is criminals posting this shit online? Niggas be so blown. Because I be looking at my dad, old friends. If niggas come home, I remember when you was, the nigga 52 on Facebook going hard. Still. But you see the old picture of the nigga buff. Like, now they like a little older, slim down. They just, hey, you know, nigga out here doing the calisthenics and shit. Still. Niggas is granddads. Nigga with. By the way, I want to plug my cousin's albums.
Go ahead.
My cousin JD from the Lynch Mob. Uh-huh. If you guys remember the Lynch Mob from back in the day, Ice Cube, he's home from prison.
About the L-E-N-C-S. Y'all know the rest.
Stood up like a real one. Came home last year. Just released the album on 420. Please support that. It is called. Hold on one second. It is called JD's Revenge Volume 1 on all streaming platforms. And then my cousin, who y'all met in Chicago during the Chicago live show, Marquell Jordan, he dropped a jazz album called All We Have Are Moments.
There you have it. That's going to do it for us here at Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Again, patreon.com/countthedings. You don't want to miss those overflow episodes that come out the day after this comes out. We're doing Winning Time. We're doing Atlanta. A lot of compare and contrast now that we've seen the beginning of this Magic Johnson docuseries. For Black Trey, for Big Jerb, I'm Amino Hassan. Oh, be on the lookout for another playoff watch along. That might be coming too. Again, strictly for the Patreon. Stay black, motherfucker.